Daph.
Hi, Mom, or Gail.
That's me. I'm Gail.
She's Gail, and I'm Daphne. And we're back for another episode of That's Disturbing.
That was fucking disturbing.
That was disturbing as fuck.
Yeah.
But it's cool. That's us. We're disturbing. It's whatever.
But yeah, it's cool.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
All right, Mama, what's your disturbing fact?
Well, the first thing I have to share is that editing these with you being like a fucking elephant in tap shoes is very fucking disturbing. And there is not all the time that I can remove all of the sounds and all of the stuff, because sometimes you're talking while you're being an elephant in tap shoes. And so I can't remove it all. But I can remove it most of the time when I'm talking. But sometimes it's so fucking loud that I can't even remove it from me talking. So it's kind of disturbing. But I love you. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Thanks. I love you too. We have a guest star today on our show. And that would be our dog. So if you hear her in the back, apologies in advance. We'll try to do our best to cut it out. But she's a snorty girl and she's here.
Hi, Sky.
Hi, Sky Rizzy.
She's a little wimpy today, so we just got her out here in the office with us, making sure that she's being on some downtime.
Yes, because she's crazy.
Yeah, just a little bit.
A lot of bit crazy. But she's so damn cute.
She is fucking adorable.
Yes, all right, Mama, what's your disturbing fact? What you got?
Okay, my disturbing fact is that the number one, I'm all saying one and holding up three fingers.
Right. I'm like really confused already. It doesn't take a lot to make me confused, but when you say one and you're holding up three, then I'm really confused.
And this isn't a visual podcast, so me holding up three fingers doesn't mean shit anyway. Medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States.
Oh, I believe that shit.
That's disturbing.
Oh, it is. It's very disturbing, but I absolutely believe it. And there goes Sky scratching like a crazy woman.
Yep, there she goes.
No, I believe it, though, because you always hear about like medical malpractice.
Yeah, but number three.
Yeah, that's high.
Deaths.
What's it behind? What are the two in front of it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't say. Because what might later on in the article, but what it says is that researchers at Johns Hopkins Medical say that medical errors rank about the third leading cause of death in the United States. Fuck, I'm struggling already. Thank God it's not my episode. And highlights how the shortcomings in tracking vital statistics may hinder research and keep the problem out of the public eye. So in other words, when people have maybe heart disease or a stroke or some kind of surgical procedure, the doctors just list heart disease or surgical procedure or
what, instead like, of medical malpractice.
Yeah. Instead of a misdiagnosis or a surgical error or one of the many number of other things that can go wrong, medical mix-ups, misdiagnosis, medications that are prescribed to patients that and or cause death. Like you hear the disclaimers of all the medications and all of the symptoms that the medications may cause and or death at the end are worse than what you're actually treating.
Right.
So, yeah, that's all part of it. And it says that there's a medical coding system that's used to record the death certificate data so that people, again, the leading cause of death is XYZ. You know, it's cancer, it's drive-by shootings, it's whatever, right?
Right.
But then this is a misappropriation or an over-appropriation of diagnoses that are exacerbated and death is caused by the treatment, by the doctor, by medical staff, by just bullshit. Jeez.
That's scary.
It's really scary. It makes you not want to go to the doctor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't ever get excited to go to the doctor, but yeah, definitely create some fear.
Right. So it says that the statistic basically is, they say, quote, not this statistic, say heart disease or whatever. It says underlying cause of death is defined as the condition that led the person to seek medical treatment in the first place. And as a result, even if the doctor does list medical errors on the death certificate, they aren't really included in the published totals. Only the underlying condition, such as heart disease or cancer, are what is considered the cause of death as far as statistics go.
Scary.
Super frightening. So
yeah.
The third leading cause of death.
Yeah, that's super sketchy. Is that just in the United States?
That's in the United States.
Okay.
So it kind of makes you want to go seek medical treatment in a third world country from a witch doctor.
Right.
I feel like your chances might be equally as good, if not better.
Going to the vampire Barcelona. Going to go see her.
Well, then at least you know you're going to fucking die.
Right.
You're not under the misconception that you're going to be treated.
Especially if you're a child. Shit, I shouldn't have said that.
No, and I shouldn't laugh that you said it. So anyway, cool. That's very fucking disturbing.
Yeah, it's frightening, actually.
It is.
Yeah, it's really scary. So our episode today is Key West Part 2.
And you can hear Skye snorting in the background. She'll just add some flavor.
Yeah, some flavor to the mix today.
To your scary sounds.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, what is that? Oh, yeah, it's Skye. Everybody meet Skye. She's snorting and licking right now. She's pretty damn cute, though. Can't be mad about it.
Nope.
But man, she needs a nail trim. looked at me like, hell nah.
Right. And we just did it like 2 weeks ago. But, you know, she's a baby. She's growing.
Yeah. They grow fast.
Yeah. Nails grow fast, too.
So Key West Part 2, mama.
Yay.
So we're going to be doing the La Concha Hotel first.
All right.
It's located at 430 Duval Street. It was built in 1926. And it was built by local developer Carl Abucon, okay. I believe is how you say his name. And he wanted to build the first luxury hotel in Key West.
You know what I love about that hotel?
What?
Is that it's still there and that it's like authentic and beautiful.
And poppin'.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's expensive as shit to stay there.
It is. Because some of the new buildings are really beautiful as well. The old buildings have like the best charm, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love all the history there.
Same.
That's why I'm giving history lessons about the episodes or about the Key West ones anyway, or most of the episodes I do, I try and like throw in a history lesson.
Yeah, I love it.
Because it's interesting to me.
It is. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just was interjecting my own feelings of the building.
Because it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So he built the hotel in hopes to bring in tourists because Henry Flagler, who had developed the island, he had designed it as an island getaway. But rather, the wealthy made it their place to build their private mansions and, like, their own vacation homes as opposed to having tourists go there.
Must be nice.
Right? I want to have a house in Key West.
Right. I would like to be wealthy and have my own private mansion on an island.
Yeah, so subscribe to us so we can get there. So once the hotel was completed, it actually worked. Many people began to visit the island. And the hotel even had an elevator, which was a modern feature at the time.
Nice.
A rooftop bar and beautiful marble floors, which now replacing the bar is a spa and a place for people to watch the sunrise.
Nice.
And then with the Great Depression, the hotel took a decline. Obviously, people aren't traveling at that point.
Right.
And then the hurricane of 1935 destroyed a lot of the island, including the railroad, which people used to take trains to get to and from Key West.
Well, that's a bummer.
Right? That sucks.
Yeah.
I'd be really depressed.
Hopefully nobody was on the train when the railroad got wiped out. Yeah,
no shit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it, though.
Oh, yeah. And there's still tons of, it's all damaged.
Yeah.
It's still like that.
Yeah, there's still places that never got rebuilt.
Yeah.
So with the completion of the overseas highway, though, in the 1940s, the hotel began to be popular again.
Nice.
Because people could travel in and out. And we love that highway. It's the best drive ever.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing. Except for when there's a lot of high tide happening. And then the next morning, there's like a bunch of crabs dragged to the road.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
Yeah, Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I forgot about that. Because there's like one area that's like really super low. Because a lot of it's kind of well above the water because it's bridges and whatnot. But a lot of it also is going through town and right directly through waterways. And yeah, I forgot how there would be like literally thousands of dead crustaceans on the road.
Yeah, thousands of them.
Yeah.
So Ernest Hemingway and Harry S. Truman, they both enjoyed spending their time at the hotel, even though they were residents on the island.
Nice.
And more than a dozen people have jumped off the roof to commit suicide. No one knows why these people took their own lives, but it is the highest building in the city. So it can be assumed that, you know, might prefer to jump from a higher building than a shorter building. to take my own life.
To ensure death and not maimed, maimness.
Yeah, right.
Maimity.
Maimity. So the ghosts of suicide victims, if you will, they still haunt the building. And people report that the ghosts taunt them on the rooftop. And an attorney named Fred, he was one of those unfortunate souls. He tried to frame his secretary on his way down. I don't know what frame for. Her? I don't know what for. Huh. Yeah, I just said that he tried to frame his secretary and maybe that's why he committed suicide.
Oh, gotcha.
But anyway, he's just one of the ghosts or one of the suicide victims. Mm-hmm. Many patrons report feeling cold spots, hearing voices, and feeling like there's something or someone watching them.
Ooh.
Yeah. People have woken up to spirits standing at the foot of their bed and then the figures just disappear. There's a spirit who loves Chardonnay.
Ooh.
So this is one of the suicidal spirits. They were drinking a glass of Chardonnay before jumping off the roof. And it's always seeming like they're looking for another glass before moving on to the afterlife.
Aww.
Because people that aren't keeping a close enough watch of their drink, preferably Chardonnay, it'll be gone.
So you know what not to order if you're at the La Concha?
Yeah, don't order Chardonnay.
Your drink's going to get ripped off.
Yeah, your drink's going to get swiped.
Right, by the undead, by the dead. Yeah. No, I was going to say not the undead, but no, they're not zombies, they're ghosts.
Right.
Strong, powerful ghosts if they can drink your wine.
Yeah, no shit. They just come and swoop it whenever they feel like it. So we have the ghost of the busboy. In the 1980s, a busboy was cleaning up after a huge New Year's Eve party when he accidentally backed up into an elevator shaft. No one knows why the elevator was open, but it was located on the fifth floor and he fell to his death.
Oh.
Yeah.
So in other words, when the elevator doors opened, there was no elevator.
Yeah, just the door was open.
Empty shaft.
Yeah, an empty shaft.
And that was in the 80s?
Yeah, it was in the 80s.
So not too long ago.
Not terribly long ago.
No.
40 years ago.
The 80s is not that far.
Yeah.
From back.
Then there's the bellboy's apparition in the hotel. And it is believed that a bellboy haunts the elevator and the fifth floor hallways. There have been reports of the elevator being sent to the fifth floor, stopping there, and no one is pushing the button or sending it to that floor.
Ooh.
Some people have seen the bellboy's apparition wheeling a cart towards the elevator, and then he walks through the elevator doors and just vanishes. And then some people also hear crying coming from the elevator as if he's like crying out for help.
That would suck. And when you said that he's like pushing the cart, that's like just fucking reliving your death. You're like in that fucking loop.
Yeah, it's in that death loop.
Yeah, that's not where I would want to be.
No, me either, because that'd be really sad.
I know. They need to get somebody in there to like help him move on to the other side.
Right. Clear the mojo.
Yeah. But then you don't have this story.
Yeah, then people don't get to experience it, which they may go there to do.
Right.
But still think about his soul.
Yeah, he still needs to be allowed to move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Go, bus boy, go.
Move on.
Yeah.
Or that's not the bus boy. That's the bellboy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the bellboy. But still, both of them.
Yeah.
They both still haunt it.
Everybody move on.
So then there's Senator John Spotswood. This is supposedly him. People report seeing his shadowy figure moving up and down the lobby staircase, but leading towards the pool.
Huh.
Yeah. So people think that's him.
Okay. I like to go to the pool. I don't like to get in the pool because people pee in there a lot.
Yeah. But laying outside of the pool is nice.
Right. But I like being by a pool.
Ernest Hemingway is also one of the ghosts they believe to be in the hotel.
Nice.
People believe. So he always stays in the same room. And now it's like designated as the Hemingway suite in the hotel, too.
Very nice.
So people who stay in his room are often woken up by objects moving and flying about the room. Some people have even reported their beds being shaken.
Not that nice.
And people report the TV lights and the bathroom faucet turning on by themselves.
Oh, that's a pain and annoying and creepy.
Yeah, I wouldn't think him to be like angry and fuck with people, but
maybe he's drunk. Knows?
Good chance. Good chance. Which leads us into our next story, the Hemingway House.
Ah. I love that place. And the La Concha Hotel, I've only like ever been into the lobby. So you need to find a picture of the Hemingway suite and post it.
Yes, I will do so.
Yeah. And I remember them talking about a rooftop bar, but obviously it's not there anymore. So that'd be kind of cool to see too.
Yeah.
That if would you can be. Figure it out.
Yes, I will try to. Try to find these pictures, which I'm sure I can.
Do it.
The Hemingway House, located at 907 Whitehead Street. which it was Ernest Hemingway's residence in Key West, which is now a museum. And I don't want to get in trouble when I say this, but like I've definitely given the cat some treats through the gate in the middle of the night. I have definitely done that.
You're outing yourself.
There's lots of homeless cats and the cats that live inside the museum that just roam. And sometimes those cats break out too. I remember this one cat. I wanted to take her home so bad. She was such a bitch though.
So of course you'd want to take that cat home.
Right. Me and the bitchy cats. We get along really well. So I don't want to get too like involved into Ernest Hemingway's entire life story. But he moved to Key West and lived in his home in the 20s and the 30s. He was an author. He wrote The Old Man and the Sea and The Snows of Kilimanjaro. Those are just two amongst all of his works. Mm-hmm. He was gifted a cat by a ship's captain. And this cat was a white six-toed polydactyl cat. Okay. On their website, it says Snow White was the cat's name. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why. I feel like its name was Snowball every time I've been there.
Yeah. Snowball is what I recall.
Yeah. But on like the actual website, it says Snow White.
Huh.
Yeah, so I guess I'm going to go with that, but I've heard Snowball my entire life.
Yeah, me too.
So
I guess it depends on who's telling the story.
Right.
But I've never heard Snow White, ever.
I haven't either.
Except for in the Disney reference.
Yeah, exactly. So now there are roughly 60 cats in the museum, all of which who are descendants from the original cat, either Snow White or Snowball. So people have reported seeing Hemingway's ghost waving from the second story balcony. And then people have also reported seeing Pauline Hemingway, his second wife, on the front porch smoking cigarettes at night after she passed away.
Ooh.
And then in the morning, they would find the cigarette butts, and they were the same brand from when she smoked when she was alive.
Oh, that's freaking weird.
Isn't that creepy?
That's so weird.
And then there are several cat spirits as well.
Well, that's cool. I like that. I like the cat spirits.
And then I couldn't really find a whole lot about this haunting, but there's the wife of Asa Tift. And Asa Tift was a salvager, and he built the home in 1851. Apparently, his wife haunts the Hemingway house.
So she didn't want to leave.
Yeah, I guess not.
It's a pretty cool place. I don't think I'd want to leave either.
I don't think I would either. There's a cool pool there, and it's like one of the only underground, like completely underground pools there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really neat place.
It is. And then there's like a penny or some kind of a coin or something by the pool, around the pool, cemented in there.
Yeah.
Because when his wife was divorcing him, he told her that to take all of, like his last cent or whatever. And he like threw it at her or something. And so then they like encased it.
Yep.
Yeah, some story. Some such story as that.
I think he was with Pauline though forever.
But I don't think he lived there for very long. Didn't he only live there for a super short time?
The 20s and 30s.
Okay.
Yeah, probably not very long, though.
Yeah.
So then we have Captain Tony's Saloon at 428 Green Street.
I love that place.
I know.
They have Pirate's Punch.
Yes, they do.
10 out of 10 recommend.
Yes, yes. It's not as good to you, though, as the Green Parrot.
Mm.
When my mom goes to the Green Parrot, she often can walk. She just chooses not to.
Yeah, it's a choice.
It's totally a choice.
And the Green Parrot used to be the morgue. So, you know, it makes fitting. It's fitting that you can't walk.
Captain Tony's Saloon was built in 1851. It was an ice house that also doubled as the city morgue at that time.
Oh, Captain Tony's Saloon also?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I didn't either until I started looking into it.
All right.
And then in the 1890s, it was a wireless telegraph station, which it was most utilized in 1898 during the Spanish-American War. When the battleship Maine was destroyed, the news came to this building from Havana, Cuba. And then it was reported all over the world from this building.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
No, I didn't either.
I thought that was a really cool fact about it.
That is a really cool fact. And I think wireless telegraph, like the precursor to the cell phone.
Yeah, right. The precursor. In 1912, it was a cigar factory and then later a bordello.
Nice.
Yeah, right.
You need your bordello.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A few years later, after wasn't the bordello anymore. It was rented to Morgan Bird, who opened the Duval Club, which was decorated in late Victorian fashion. And he threw lavish gay parties where the gay patrons would hit on sailors. And then the Navy warned Morgan Bird, like, hey, you better stop it, dude. And he didn't. So then the Navy placed the Duval Club as off limits to them, to any of their sailors.
Nice.
Which caused an 80% decrease in their business.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, you know, don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
Yeah.
Clearly they did both. So after it was the Duval Club, it became home to several speakeasies. And the last one was called the Blind Pig, which had gambling, women, and bootlegged rum.
I like it.
Yeah, the Blind Pig.
I like the speakeasy thing.
I do, too.
Because it just sounds so, like, glamorous. It sounds mobby glamorous.
Yeah, I know. That's totally your fashion.
It is. It's totally my fashion.
So then in 1933, a local named Joe Russell bought the business, and he decided to create Sloppy Joe's Bar there.
I love it.
So originally, there was a long wooden bar on the left side of the main bar area. The booths went back to the back of the building, and there was a large room off to one side used for gambling. It was just this big casino bar-ish area, right, in the Keys, in Key West. Mm-hmm. And they had a blackjack table, roulette, craps, one-armed bandits, Pharaoh, and CeeLo. Rumba was the music of the time, so everybody danced to it. There was live music there. The back room at Sloppy Joe's, which is now the pool room at Captain Tony's, was known as the Silver Slipper and served as the dance hall. And this is also at this point between 1933 to 1937 where Ernest Hemingway spends a lot of his time.
Nice. It sounds super fun. I think I would spend a lot of my time there also.
I know. It does sound like a great time.
Right?
And then in 1938, when the building's landlord raised the rent $1 per week.
Oh, no.
Russell and all of his customers, like all of his regulars, went and moved the entire bar and moved everything in the middle of the night to where Sloppy Joe's currently is at 201 Duval Street.
I love it.
Isn't that
Everybody
funny?
Just grab a fucking bar stool and let's go. We're out.
Yeah, right?
We're not paying another dollar a week. You're crazy.
Isn't that funny
as
fuck?
That's hilarious. I love that.
So he continued the operation there until his passing in 1941. And this is just as a funny side note, just to bring it back again to Hemingway, because we've talked about him in every case so far. He loved the urinal at Sloppy Joe's, which was actually a trough. So during the move from it moving from 428 Green Street then to 201 Duval Street, he actually took the trough back to his house.
Ew.
Which is now where it serves as a cat trough in the garden. So we'll have to look out for that.
I know exactly what that is. It's like a fountain.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, they have it set up as a fountain. I did not know it was a fucking urinal at Captain Tony /
Sloppy Joe's.
Wow. Yeah, we need to find that for sure.
Yeah, we do.
But I know I have a reference point 100%.
It's been so long since I've been to Hemingway House. I can't picture it, but
when you see a picture, you'll be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'll bring it all back.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1958, a local charter boat captain bought the bar and named it Captain Tony's. And this is also where Jimmy Buffett got his start in Key West.
Nice.
I love Jimmy Buffett.
Me too. And that's, I love those stories where like people just start in a local bar and then they become famous.
Right.
I love it.
I love it too. So he was often paid in tequila.
Awesome.
And it's changed a little bit since the days of Captain Tony at the bar and Jimmy Buffett on the stage. They say it's truly the last old place of Key West, where the ceiling is covered in ladies' bras, business cards fill the poster around the bar, and every bar stool is painted with the name of a famous person who not only sat on it, but also frequented the bar.
Nice.
So there's also the hanging tree. Mm-hmm. That's in the bar, and it's still growing, and nobody knows whether it's actually the original hanging tree of the island or if they just say that it is, but the hanging tree nonetheless is growing in the middle of the bar.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking cool.
It's huge.
Yeah, we definitely need to post pictures of Captain Tony's also.
Yes, there's live entertainment every afternoon and a live band every single night, and you can meet lots of locals there, tourists, people traveling from all over the world to go see Key West. I fucking love this place. But now let's jump into some hauntings.
All right. Yeah. Make me freaked out.
So it's the home to many ghosts, and we're going to start from like mid to get to actually scary.
Okay.
Okay.
You know what? Honestly, if I was a ghost, I would totally hang out there.
Yeah.
Versus the La Concha Hotel.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Maybe I would sleep at the La Concha And then spend the rest of my time at Captain Tony's.
Right.
Could go to sleep. I don't know. I'll keep you posted.
So, like I said, we're starting mildly here-ish. I kind of have it as a roller coaster of stories in
nice.
Here.
Nice.
So this story is told by the staff about a young woman. The story follows her into the bar when it was a speakeasy. She was concerned that in the evening about where her husband was, so she went to go find him, and she had her baby with her.
Aww.
So she decided to go look for him in the speakeasy, right? She found him, and when she did, he was drunk, and he was kissing another woman.
Fucker.
When she saw this, she instantly became angry and mad. She ran into the woman's restroom, and she killed the baby.
Oh, my God.
She just left it there and ran out, and no one knows whatever happened to the woman or if this is just one of those terrifying stories.
You need to kill your husband, not the baby.
Right? Yeah. Fuck. Kill the man, not the kid.
Right?
Asshole.
Yeah.
So many people who come to visit experience the most paranormal activity by the women's restroom. One woman said that she went into the restroom and tried the first stall, but it was locked. So she went to the stall next to it. And when she looked down, she noticed that there was no one in the first stall. So she was confused at why it was locked if no one was using it, obviously, as you would be.
Right.
So before she left for that evening, she went back to the bathroom hours later. You know, she already broke the seal the first time. So the first stall was still locked. And she said when she was in the stall, she heard the doors open and close as if there were other women coming in there. But she never saw anyone in there.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah.
Creepy, creepy.
So I don't know why that area is haunted, but it is. And then the owner of the bar now, Joe Farber, he said that he was never like a paranormal believer until one night when he was closing up around 4 a.m. He heard someone calling his name. So he got up from what he was doing and no one was there. He walked out back and he noticed some doors were open that had been closed and locked hours ago.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, he didn't.
That made the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Yeah, it's so fucking creepy. This is not the one that makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. We're getting there, though.
Well, that did for me.
So he didn't blame any of it on ghostly activity because it never happened to him again until a few years later when the same voice was calling him. And this time it said, "Don't leave, Joe.
Bye."
Yeah, right. Time for me to go.
Right. I got to be somewhere so that isn't here.
He didn't notice anything unusual that night until around 3 a.m. when he decided to go home. And then around 6 a.m., he got a call from the police that said that they found a body in front of the bar. A young girl called her mom from the bar and had overdosed on pills to commit suicide.
Jeez.
Yeah. Isn't that fucking weird and
that
scary?
Is not cool.
And according to the police, she died there around 3:30 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
So Joe thinks that the spirit was trying to tell him something.
Yeah.
That maybe he could have saved this woman's life. Obviously, the spirit knew something he didn't know.
Right? Yeah, that's really sad.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you really thought that? If you would have listened that maybe you could have saved somebody's life and you have to live with that?
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah,
that's got to really be a shitty feeling.
That sounds like a shitty feeling.
So a visitor to the bar said that they wanted to check out the hanging tree closer. And after having a few drinks with their friends, one of his friends dared him to climb up the hanging tree, which sounds like fucking ridiculous. But, you know, you're getting all loosey-goosey, drinking all your beer, your Pirate's Punch, whatever your drink of choice is for that night. And you're like, oh, yeah, this sounds like a great idea.
But the hanging tree is pretty, it looks like it's easy to climb. I'm not going to lie.
It has
so many branches and stuff. But it also looks like
I think it's a banyan.
But it looks slippery.
It does look slippery. Yeah, the bark on banyan tree is really smooth.
Well, and it looks like it has stuff growing on it, like banyan trees do, like mossy, but not really moss.
Right.
It looks like it would be fun, but slippery.
Well, not so fun because he was, you know, then he was like, oh, maybe I should actually do it and climb the tree. So the second he put his hands to the tree, they began to burn as if they were sizzling. And when he took his hands off the tree, they were burnt as fuck. He had to go to the emergency room to make the pain stop.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Nope.
Yeah, so that doesn't sound so fun like I thought.
And the doctors thought he was going to have a third degree burn. And then it was shocking when he didn't actually have a third degree burn.
That's fucking crazy.
Isn't that weird? This is all from touching the hanging tree.
Yeah, no.
Bad energy.
I guess.
So in the 80s, they removed the floorboards to do some renovations and, you know, replace the floorboards in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they found the remains of 20-some people.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yep. There was one gravestone for a woman named Elvira Drew. I know you know this story.
I do.
Elvira.
Yeah, well, that I do, but I didn't know there was 20 fucking people.
Yeah.
Or maybe when we've taken the ghost tour, I've had some drinks. I had some drinks. Maybe.
Pirate's punch. Pirate's punch. So Elvira Drew, she married early in life at about the age of 14 or 15.
Too young.
Yeah, right. And too old because the guy she married was in his 50s or 60s.
That's fucking ass grass.
Nasty. And
I was gonna say
he was an alcoholic and abusive.
Awesome.
Right.
Seems like a great choice.
So she died in 1822 at 19 years old, and she was hung in the hanging tree for killing her husband.
Well, it sounds like he had it coming. But of course, in those times, I guess you just had to put up with it or you got in trouble.
Right. So she was buried there until they dug up her remains in her tombstone for like 180 years.
That's fucking crazy.
Isn't that crazy as fuck?
That is.
Or 180?
I don't know. When did they dig it up?
160 years. Yeah. 160 years later. Because she died in 1822 and they dug it up in the 80s sometime.
Long time.
Yeah. She just stayed under there for a long ass time.
Yeah.
And there was another gravestone found in the floor of a woman named Reba Sawyer. And I've never heard this one before.
I haven't either.
So she lived from 1900 to 1950. And when she died, apparently her husband found some very scandalous letters between her and her lover. And, you know, these described like their fantasies with one another and the things that they wanted to do and the feelings they had for each other. But they would always meet at Captain Tony's. And so her husband was like, fuck you. And he took her coffin there and dug a hole for it under the tree in the bar.
Shit.
And he said, this is where she wants to be. So this is where she'll be.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds like not such a bad idea for her, though. Maybe you're that's right. Where she wanted to be.
Maybe that's her happy place.
Right. And she probably just can put it in her will because she'd be like, hey, husband, can you bury me where I met my lover?
Yeah, right. Can you bear me while I go rendezvous? So this is probably the most popular story regarding Captain Tony's hauntings. And this is the Lady in Blue. So it starts with the hanging tree. So there were 20 people or close to that were hung for various crimes. And it's said that she's one of them. And the story goes that she stabbed her husband and two children to death.
Jeez.
The city, like, immediately hung her. For this.
Yeah.
And she was actually hanging. She was hung in the same dress that she killed her family in, a blue dress that was covered in their blood.
Wow. So like she just killed her family and then they hung her.
Basically.
They're like, okay, bitch, they no trial for you. They dragged
her out by her hair and were like, fuck you, you're hanging.
Right. Obviously you're guilty.
Right. So many locals say that she went crazy and this is what caused her to kill her entire family. Many think that her husband was cheating on her and that's why she had done it, but nobody really knows why. But she's the ghost that's most often seen in the bar. She walks around the bar. She'll scare customers away and, you know, they see the blood on her dress. So, yeah, that'd scare the shit out of me, too. I'd be like, God damn, where'd you come from? And then she's gone the next second. I'm like, fuck, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I haven't ever seen her. And I have wanted to see stuff at Captain Tony's.
Yeah.
And just in general, I always want to see stuff.
Oh, I told you. I don't know the story. I don't know if we talked about it in part one, but we felt the hands, like the hands touching us back. Yeah. Did I talk about that in episode one?
I can't recall if you did or not.
I have no idea where the fuck to find this story either. I've only ever heard it the one time on the one walking tour.
And you can't find it?
I have no idea where it is. But basically the story, I don't know what the building is.
Wait, before you, spoiler alert, because...
Okay, spoiler alert, I felt something touch my hand.
But don't, yeah, because it might be, we have those Haunted Key West books.
Oh, yeah.
We have like two or three of them.
Yeah, it could be in there.
So it might be in one of those books, so you should keep on keeping on.
I absolutely
should. On your
should.
Research.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a series that I don't ever want to end.
Well, eventually it probably will.
Eventually, but I'm trying to keep it to three stories an episode.
Oh, gotcha. I thought you meant three episodes, because I'm like, I don't know about that.
We've got a long ways to go for that.
Yeah.
And I know if you know Key West, you know what's to come. I'm trying to keep those as their own episodes, though. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. And you should know if you know. And if you don't know, then oh no, when you know.
Oh, you'll know when you know. All right, Mama. Well, that's all I got for today.
I love it.
Yeah.
Although we got stupid at the end.
If you know, you know.
Yeah, you'll know.
You will know.
And we'll just keep on going with the no-nos.
Yep. Keep on riding that wave.
So I guess this was kind of a mini-sode.
Mini-ish, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty mini.
Yeah, I mean, it's three stories.
Yeah, but I like it.
I just thought this was all Hemingway ties, so I was like, these are good ones to keep together.
Yeah, no, I love it.
Which he was kind of the theme of the episode, if you will.
Yeah, I like it. I do like it a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And we definitely need to find those pictures.
Yeah, we absolutely do, because these places are so beautiful. Even the freaking Captain Tony's is so cool.
Yeah, super it's just, cool.
It's the history in it.
Yeah.
And the hanging tree.
Yeah.
I don't know how great and amazing that is, but it's there and it's cool.
I like it.
Me too.
All right. Well, thanks for coming and doing and playing. And
yeah, absolutely. My leg is super duper asleep because I always insist on sitting crisscross applesauce when we do this until my leg becomes asleep.
Yeah, because it's towards the end of the episodes that really the tap dancing gets a lot worse.
Yeah, right. Where I'm like, shake it out, shake it out.
Well, thank you again. Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the next, especially if you keep getting more and more and more creepy.
Well, you know, some of them aren't as creepy as others because some of them are just hauntings and they're nicer hauntings, if you will, than the uglier hauntings like the first episode was.
Well, I like the history hauntings too.
Yeah, and I liked this one that there's some spooks.
Yeah.
Because, sure. I mean, I definitely wouldn't want to hear a bellboy crying in the elevator.
No.
Or, you know, see a woman who killed her family covered in blood in a bar.
Nope.
I was like, I was actually trying to relax and enjoy my vacation.
Right. Hard pass on that.
Right. Hard fucking pass. All right, Mom, tell people where they can find us.
Oh, fuck. I think I'm not going to do that.
All right. Oh, shit. My leg is so asleep. I just had like that second wind of a buzz in my leg.
The second wind of a buzz?
Where it's like almost tickles and it's like a painful tickle.
Yeah, a not good tickle.
A not good tickle. All right. You can find us on Instagram at That's Disturbing Podcast. Send us a Gmail or go to our website or send us a DM if you want a case request. And our website is thatsdisturbingpodcast.com. Our email is thatsdisturbingpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, I think that's all the housekeeping I got.
Love it.
That's all the places you can find us. Well, there's only really one place. And that's our Instagram. Because nobody wants to use the website, so.
It's whatever.
It is what it is.
Yeah, we just get a bunch of spam in our emails, so that's also cool.
Yeah, tons of spam. Everybody wants to, like, make our analytics cool and do our SEO and all that.
Yeah.
It's like, little do they know, I already got a chick for that.
Yeah. And Daphne's good at it as well.
Yep, that I am.
Yep, Daphne is the chick for that.
Yep. All right, well, thanks for listening. Goodbye. Bye.